are starting a new series today, like all of our leaders and announcer, our stand-in announcer has announced. And so we are looking for 8 weeks. We're going to talk about encountering Jesus Christ. You may have seen this this pixelated picture, this little mosaic that we've had on some of the online as some of our advertising themes. So mosaics work is you get part of the picture. There's pieces that are missing, and as more and more pieces come into view, you get a clearer picture of what's really there. And what our hope is that as we go forward over the next 8 weeks in encountering the different roles and different aspects of who Jesus Christ is, that He becomes clearer to you. The picture becomes more distinct of who He is, and your relationship with Him changes. So I'm going to start off just with a definition of what does it mean to encounter something. There are several definitions of the word encounter, but to encounter something means to run into it, to come upon face-to-face something that you can't really get around. You know, I like aviation and space travel and just fascinated with that. Some of you, anyone see the movie Apollo 13? Remember that movie? That was based on a true story of the Apollo 13 mission to send three men to the moon and take some samples and do another moon landing. And by that time, the programming of going to the moon had become kind of boring. We'd done enough missions, and it actually got pushed out of the news stories because it was becoming kind of routine by then. And so they took off, and they had these oxygen tanks, and they had to stir one of the oxygen tanks, and one of the astronauts pushed a button because they would ice up, and they had a little device that would stir the oxygen tank, and there was a spark inside the oxygen tank. That is a problem. As you know, oxygen is very flammable. The tank exploded, and it was almost catastrophic. Was catastrophic to the spacecraft, but they were able to figure out a way to get everyone back by God's grace for sure. But they had encountered a problem face-to-face that they could not avoid. They were going along on their happy mission to the moon, and all of a sudden, they had encountered a significant problem. To encounter something, something comes in front of you. So to encounter Jesus Christ, let's not look at it as a problem, but it's something that is right in front of you. When you encounter something, remember he said, "Houston, we have a problem." He didn't use the word encounter, but we have a problem. We have something right in front of us. So another definition is to come upon or experience, especially unexpectedly. If you encounter God, if you encounter the significance of the creator of the universe, there are some things that are going to be unexpected in that, in a good way. So here is our topics for the next 8 weeks. Jesus Christ as teacher, as prophet, as friend, which is really an amazing concept that that the creator of the universe is your friend. And then right after we're talking about Him as God. He's your friend, and you've been drawn close to Him, and you can't be pulled away from Him, and you can't be separated from His love. And at the same time, He is still God of everything. Jesus Christ is healer. Jesus in the Old Testament. Jesus as the last high priest. No other sacrifice. And Jesus says triumphant, which I think is interesting. If you think about Jesus Christ as triumphant, there are times He doesn't seem triumphant. Now it's important to look at everything will be drawn. He will be victorious in everything, which is not obvious now. You have to trust that what is going to happen here. So we're going to look at that. So with that, I wanted to pray. So we're going to talk today specifically about Jesus Christ as a teacher. Why did he teach? So why don't we stop and ask God to bless our time. Lord, thank you that you have many roles in our lives and in the earth and in the kingdom of heaven, and that you are everything. We are going to look at a few of these. Please expand our understanding of the significance of who you are. May we encounter you here even today. Amen. So, I want to look at why did Jesus teach? Why did he teach? What's the significance of him teaching? I don't believe that Jesus, his main role in coming here to the earth, was to teach. I think his main role to come to the earth was to make the sacrifice for all of us. He was pretty clear about that. He came to give his life, a ransom for many, for us. And that's distinct. Without that, there's no reason for anything else. We would all be set without his one-time sacrifice for all of our sins, for all of our iniquity. But still, he took time to teach. As a matter of fact, everywhere he went, he taught. He taught more than he healed people. So somewhere, teaching was very important. What did he teach about? He didn't teach about math. He didn't teach about physics, calculus, or chemistry, or thermodynamics, which I got an A in a long time ago. But he didn't talk about any of it. He could have. He could have talked about managing your finances. He could have talked about a lot of things, political correctness. He talked about the kingdom of God. And he used parables and analogies and stories that we could understand, that people in that time, he talked about that because it was important. There was a story, true story. Remember when one of the first miracles he did, we sang a song about it, you turned water into wine. One of the first miracles he did, he turned water into wine. It's an interesting story, interacting with his mother. Now, you know, most of the time, women are better hostesses than men. We know this, right? If someone throws a party, the guy goes, ah, meat, good, that's all we need. The women worry about all the other things besides the meat, right? They add a lot. They add what all the men miss normally, right? And there's some exceptions to that. But they're at this wedding, Jesus and his mother, Mary, and they run out of wine. They run out of wine. The wine is gone. Mary goes to her son and says, they're out of wine. And what does he say? He says kind of an odd thing. He says, what do you want with me? My time has not yet come. It's kind of a strange. My time, we're out of wine. Now, if it was you or I, what would we do? We would try to fix the problem. We'd knock on the neighbor's door. Can I borrow some wine? At a party. And, you know, maybe the market's still open. Probably not. I don't know. But we need some more wine. We're out of wine. You can't make it. You have to beg, borrow, steal. Now, when Jesus fixes a problem, the problem is fixed. He fixes a problem. It's interesting. He said, my time is not yet come. Jesus could have been, if his goal was to just make the sacrifice for all sins, he could have gotten there much quicker. He could have been more blatant earlier about who he was. He could have said, I am the Son of God. Trust in me. And there are times he didn't do that too openly. The Pharisees went to him and said, by what authority do you do these things? He didn't give them the answer. I'm the Son of God. You should trust me. Stop trusting in your religious system. He said, let me ask you a question. I think one of the reasons is there were things he do. It was important for him to have the opportunity to help people, to help us understand, to help the world understand the reality about the kingdom of God. What he taught was very important. So Jesus got put in this situation. He didn't have time to teach yet. And he goes to his mom, to his mother, it's not time yet. Now this is an interesting situation because there is a commandment. Here you have the creator of the universe who is becomes a man, and there's a commandment that says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is that it may go well with you all the days of your life. There's a commandment about obeying your parents. So Jesus goes, my time is not yet come, and he turned the water into wine. He fulfilled both. He got enough time, and he still obeyed his mother, because God has to be consistent. Why teach him? Why did he take the time? Because we're very confused about it. It's very confusing living here on the earth. We have people at this time with their own religious system. We obey all these rules. We had hundreds of rules. If you were a Pharisee, you were commanding people that if you trust in these rules and do all these things and tithe at the right time on everything, you should be good. That's the system we have. And he said, no, you're leading people astray. People needed to understand that was not true religion. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life. The world needed to know, and it was important to know that. So Jesus, being able to teach, was very important. That concept that we can relate to God is very important. You know, I'm on a committee that has a lot of teachers on it. They come to meet probably six times a year. And I was at the meeting. I'm not a teacher. Well, I guess I am in a way. But I was at the meeting, and the administrator said, you know, you go around a room, and it's kind of an icebreaker thing. And the administrator said, I want you to go around the room and give us the reason why you were here on the earth. So put yourself in that situation. You know how, remember, it's like being in school. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? And I'm going, okay, there's six people in front of me. I got six people to figure this out, and they can kind of... And you know how it is. Everyone wants to say something. You can't be too selfish. You can't say, well, I'm here to earn money and do what I want. You can't say that. You have to say something proper. And these are school administrators and teachers and a few other people, very interesting committee, and people said, you know, I'm here to make a difference. And people do want to make a difference. I'm here to help people. I'm here to teach children. And people went around. Lord, what should I say? What should I say? And they got to me. And I looked at them and I said, I am here because God cares about people so much. He died for them, and he wants them to know that they can have a relationship with him. That's, I am here to help people understand. And I said that with a little bit of conviction. You know what happened after that? Ever hear that little cricket chirping silence? Everyone's kind of there. It was kind of silent in the room for a little bit. And the lady who had asked the question said, that's beautiful. It is a beautiful thought that God cares about. God cares about you. If you can say that God cares about you, it's a beautiful thought. If you can connect with the truth of that, it's, how do we know that? Jesus taught that. Jesus came to that. So you know what happened? Two guys came in late to the meeting, and she wanted everyone to go through the icebreaker exercise. So this lady looks at me and says, this is the exercise we're doing. You have to say why you were here, put here on the earth. She looks back at me and she says, Dean, can you share why you're here again? Why? Why? Because I think it's because of something special about me. No, I think there's something significant when we can hear that God cares about us. I think we want to hear that. We want to know that. So it's important for Jesus to teach this. So what makes a teacher a good teacher? I found this article on the internet about 25 things that make teachers good teachers. And I picked out about five of them. This isn't unique about God. This is an article written to teachers. And I picked out five of these 25 things because I think they apply in this situation. Good teachers are consistent. They do what they say. They follow what they believe. God is consistent. Jesus Christ is always consistent. He will always be consistent in his message of what he teaches. Good teachers have a sense of purpose. Good teachers do that. They do that. I mean, they help you believe, understand that what they're teaching is significant. It's important to our lives. Good teachers do that. I wonder, when Jesus Christ was here, you know how you like to listen to people who have conviction about, when they speak and they have conviction, you go, wow, they really believe that. It's inspiring. Except when it's politicians who are lying to you, then it's very discouraging. If you watch political speeches, but when they have a true sense of purpose, it's inspiring. Good teachers give their students emotional support. Jesus did this. It amazes me as I look at the scripture how much, you know, I'm thinking, well, to save time, if you're going to teach people in the Word, couldn't you just have like a big voice come out of the sky and just tell everyone at the same time, hey, here's how it works? It would save a lot of time, but he took the time to interact with people individually. You know, when the children, the disciples were going, hey, we're trying to teach the adults here. The kids are coming up and they're kind of getting in the way. They tell Jesus this. Tell the children to go away. Jesus said, no. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Let them come. Let them be all around here. Let them be here. Good teachers adapt to student needs. You look at how personal Jesus was in his teaching. He took time to interact with every person who came along to him who was interested. He did that. The woman at the well. Go home to your husband. I have no husband. Ah, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. I sense you're a prophet. Right. And then she went into the town and says, come see the man who knows everything about me. He took the time to personally interact that people could see the kingdom of God. Good teachers are masters of their own subjects. Masters. You know, I taught in college a little bit. I was getting my master's degree in civil engineering, and it was a cool program that Purdue University had. If you taught, they would give you free tuition and just about enough money to live on, starving college students. It was a good little program, but I had to teach classes, and I was teaching this strength and materials class, and I thought I was prepared, and we were transitioning a curve over, and one of the students asked me a question about how to do this, and I realized I didn't know how to answer their question. I was teaching the lab, and I was like 20 people in the class, and I'm standing there, and I realized I didn't know how to tell them what to do. And I go, well, so I kind of tried to wing it, you know what I mean, which works sometimes, but sometimes doesn't. I said, well, do it this way. Just move this over and drew an arrow, and I kind of left it, you know, kind of, yeah, that'll work. And the student, one of the brighter students in the class, came up to me afterwards. He goes, "I think that's wrong." "Yeah, why?" And he goes, "Because if you do that, your curve shrinks down to a point and disappears. And it's supposed to be a data curve. It's not supposed to do that." Sorry, this is the specifics. They go, "Yeah, you're right. You're right." And I hadn't mastered my subject. Jesus Christ is a master of his subject. No one else talked as he did. He has totally clear understanding about the kingdom of God. He's not guessing. He's not guessing. And I've been corresponding with a guy I met, and he's been telling me, he says, "Hey," he says, "you know, I love this. I think religion is about this whole love thing that Jesus is talking about. But I like these other things too." And I'm going, you know, if we're going to take, you can't take part of what Jesus said, the parts you like. We need to take all of it. Because if he's right about everything. So good teachers teach in a personal way. And this is what he does with all of us. We all have a personal relationship. Every Christian has a relationship with God. And he will take you right where you're at and give you what you need. It's a personalized lesson plan, because we have the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. And that's what he wants to do with everybody, that they can move forward in their faith. So Jesus teaches about the kingdom of God. So he was talking to the Pharisees about this in Luke 17. And they were asking, one day the Pharisees said, "When will the kingdom of God come?" There were prophecies about the Messiah, and really, in this time frame, there were no prophets for 400 years. Not much was happening. And then John the Baptist says, "The kingdom of God is coming," and then Jesus comes. And the Pharisees are going, "When is the kingdom of God coming? We've been reading about it, but when is it coming?" Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs." He says, if you're looking for something, a flashing neon sign, or if the kingdom of God is here, you're not going to see it. Look what he says next. You won't be able to say, "Here it is," or "Over there," for the kingdom of God is already among you. I am already among you. How are we going to know? You should know. You should know. All authority is among you, and I'm teaching about the kingdom of God. So as a teacher, no one has the insight into the kingdom of God Jesus Christ does. So what he teaches, it is accurate every way. So I've wondered about if it's possible, is there, in all of his teaching, is there something he taught that is the most important thing? And some people say, "Oh yeah, this is the most important." I become very uncomfortable with that idea, that there is one teaching that's more, because all of the teachings of Christ are important at different times and different situations for different people. They're all appropriate. But there are some things that are very important. So it turns out that the Pharisees, they did ask Christ, what is the most important teaching? They asked him about this. As a matter of fact, one of them said, "In all the law of Moses, what is the most important thing? What is the most important thing? Is there something that's most important?" And the Pharisees asked him this in Matthew 22. The conversation is recorded. He says, "This is the most important commandment. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. This is what you should love the most." most, God, with everything you have. Everything you have. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. I think that's so interesting. All of culture, all of society only works with love. All these laws and standards work with love. Loving God, respecting God first. Society will fall apart without respect for God. Families will fall apart without love. We kind of see that, don't we? Things are unraveling. Hard to figure out. I had a guy I met, he's a pastor actually in DuPage County here. Actually started as a Jewish man and became a Christian later in life. And you know how you meet people and he seemed like a normal guy. But he wrote several books, and he gave me one of his books. I go, oh, thank you. I put it up on my shelf, never read it, took it down, read his book, and go, wow, this is pretty insightful. One of the things he says, you know what we do? And he's talking about Christianity. We take concepts. He says, we're in love with concepts, and we beat each other up with concepts. In Christianity, theology, we rake each other, this is right, I'm right, you're wrong, you're left right, however it works. I think he's right. We do that today in our culture. Isn't that what's happening in our culture? We try to, my concept is right, but there's not a lot. Concepts without love become empty. They become empty. This is critical for the future of any culture, of any society, of any family. So Jesus gives an insight into the kingdom of God and how life really works. So I was reading online, and this guy said, this is the most important thing Jesus ever said. Most important verse. Here it is. You ready? John 3:3. I don't agree with it. I think because I'm uncomfortable, at least at this point, saying any one verse is the most important. But this is, I think it is significant. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Why is that important? Because people had a religious system. They had a religious system. They go, I got this system. I'm doing these things. Aren't I okay? No. You need a new heart. You need God to wash yourself clean. Very important. The teaching about the kingdom of God is critically, critically important. So as we go forward over the next several weeks, we're going to look at these different aspects of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, as a teacher, the teaching should show us who he is. And this is what he said to the Pharisees in the Gospel of John. He said, you search the scriptures, the logos, the word, because you think that in them you have eternal life. Jesus Christ is the truth. It can be confusing. Isn't this the scripture? Jesus Christ is the truth. He says, the scriptures point to me. Teaching should point. If we grasp what is happening, it should point and lead us to how good God is, to the person of Jesus Christ as the creator and author all things, and everything will return to him if we're learning more than concepts. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:5, he says, the goal of my instruction is that you become very smart. You can tell people things. The goal of my instruction is that you can quote verses. He said, the goal of my instruction is love. It comes from a clear conscience, a pure heart, and a sincere faith. Paul is saying, what I'm teaching people should result in people caring for God, caring for each other. That is what teaching is supposed to do. Last verse I'm going to share today is John 14:6. He's teaching about the kingdom of God. What does he teach about the kingdom of God? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. People are looking for life. They will find it in Jesus Christ. They won't find it anywhere else. You can find fun. You can find excitement. You can find things that are entertaining. But you won't find life. You know, a couple of us, my daughter and my son and a friend, went downtown yesterday. We took the train, put our bikes on the train, and we went downtown. It was a beautiful day. Not a cloud in the sky. Went downtown yesterday and rode up, was it Oak Street Beach? They had a volleyball tournament on the beach, a sand volleyball. And they had this big thing set up and a stand set up and this big and volleyball players were there. And go in and watch, and I was thinking, I said, you know what's going to happen here? Some teams are going to score more points than other teams, and some people are going to win, and some are going to lose, and they're going to take all this down, and they're all going to go away, and I go, I wonder what God thinks about that. Does God care about volleyball scores? I don't know. Does he? I'm sure he cares about hockey, but volleyball, I don't know. Is it that important? Or football? Now, football, that's pretty serious. But volleyball, people work hard and compete. They put effort and train for years. What does God? God cares about people's souls. It was a big event. People were there. You know, we stopped to watch a little bit. They were serving alcohol there. You could get a mixed drink. None of us did. We could get whatever you wanted there, you know. So it was on the beach. It was a beautiful day. God cares about people's souls. It was entertaining. But I'm sure by today or tomorrow, they're taking that whole thing down. You want life. The reality is you're going to have to go to God. You have to go through Jesus Christ. It's important for people to understand that. Without Jesus coming, and I just give you a few examples of some of the things he said. And he will lead you individually and teach you individually that he can have first place in your life and you would look to him as your teacher. That's his goal. So, encountering Jesus Christ. There's three things I wanted to leave you with. I started to pray this for myself, that I would encounter Jesus Christ in a significant way over the next several weeks. I thought you could join me in that. Would you pray that you would encounter Jesus Christ in a significant way? Personal way over the next several weeks. Ask God that he would do that. Ask him to be your teacher, to teach you. Ask him to do that. You know, when I was in the fifth grade, I had a teacher who was an amazing teacher. I actually found the fifth grade very hard. He worked us death. He worked us really hard. I didn't feel like I was doing that well, but he worked us hard. His name was Dr. Scheinblum, a Jewish guy, Scheinblum. And when we got to middle school, you know what? Middle school was way too easy. He worked us, we were ready for a greater challenge, and then middle school was like, you know how middle school is. I met him several years later. You know what had happened? He had moved on, and he was actually recognized. He went on additional training and pursued being, he ended up classified, I don't know how they rate teachers, but he was part of an advanced teaching program, ended up being rated one of the top 20 teachers in the country. And you could tell from being there, it was great for the students. It was great. I met him. It was interesting. I benefited so much. I was ready for something that middle school, my middle school, couldn't deliver. But it prepared me well. Jesus Christ, if you look to Him as your teacher, it'll benefit you. Can you teach me? It'll benefit your life so much. Ask Him, teach me. Please look to Him. Please teach me. Today, this week, this month, look to Him personally. And pray that you would apply these truths, that you would love God first and others next. Let me close in prayer. We'll have the music team come up. Lord, thank you that you provided insight into how the kingdom of God works as we learn to understand that and apply that in our lives. Please help us to look to you first above all else. In your Son's name.